Chapter 13. The stealthy poachers on their rounds, and everybody caught full duly the notes of our delight, as time unrobed the youth of promise hailed by our sanguine sight. To new style, we stand in the dusk of a pine tree limb, as if to give ear to the muffled peal, broader withheld at the breeze's whim. But our truest heed is to words that steal from the mantled ghost that looms in the gray, and seems, so far as our sense can see, to feature bereaved humanity, as it sighs to the imminent ear it say, "Stay without, oh stay without, calm comely youth, unasked, untired, though stars irradiate thee about thy entrance here is undesired. Open the gate not, mystic one, must we avow what we would close confine? With thee, good friend, we would have converse none, albeit the fault may not be thine." December 31. During the war. They would not come. I traveled to where in her lifetime she knelt at morning prayer, to call her up as if there, but she paid no heed to my suing, as though her old haunt could win not a thought from her spirit, her care. I went where my friend had lectioned the prophets in high acclaim, that my soul's ear the same full tones should catch as aforetime. But silenced by gear of the present, was the voice that once there came. Where the ocean had sprayed our banquet I stood, to recall it as then. The same looting again. No vision. Shows contingent affrighted it further from me even than from my home then. When I found them no responders, but fugitives prone to flee from where they had used to be, it vouched I had been led hither, as by night wisps in bogland, and bruised the heart of me. After a romantic day, the railway bore him through an earthen cutting out from a city. There was no scope for view, though the frail light shed by a slim young moon fell like a friendly tune. Fell like a liquid ditty, and the blank lack of any charm of landscape did no harm. The bald steep cutting, rigid, rough, and moonlit, was enough for poetry of place. Its weathered face formed a convenient sheet whereon the visions of his mind were drawn. The Two Wives Smokers Club Story. I waited at home all the while they were boating together my wife and my near neighbor's wife, till there entered a woman I loved more than life, and we sat and sat on, and beheld the uprising dark weather, with a sense that some mischief was rife. Tidings came that the boat had capsized, and that one of the ladies was drowned, which of them was unknown. And I marveled my friend's wife, or was it my own who had gone in such wise to the land, where the sun as the shade is? We learned it was his had so gone. Then I cried in unrest. He is free. But no good is releasing to him as it would be to me. But it is, said the woman I loved, quietly. How? I asked her. Because he has long loved me too without ceasing, and it's just the same thing, don't you see? I knew a lady, club song. I knew a lady, when the days grew long, and evenings goldened. But I was not emboldened by her prompt eyes and winning ways. And when old winter nipped the haws, know there's wife I'll be, and then you'll care for me, she said, and think how sweet I was. And soon she shone as another's wife. As such I often met her, and sighed, how I regret her. My folly cuts me like a knife. And then, today, her husband came, and moaned, why did you flout her? Well could I do without her? For both our burdens you are to blame. A house with a history. There is a house in a city street some past ones made their own. Its floors were crisscrossed by their feet, and their babblings beat from ceiling to white hearthstone. And who are peopling its parlors now? Who talk across its floor? Mere freshlings are they, blank of brow, who read not how its prime had passed before their raw equipments, scenes, and says afflicted its memoried face, that had seen every larger phase of human ways before these filled the place. To them that house's tale is theirs, no former voices call aloud there. Its aspect bears their joys and cares alone, from wall to wall. A procession of dead days, I see the ghost of a perished day, I know his face, and the feel of his dawn. 'Twas he who took me far away to a spot strange and gray. Look at me, day, and then pass on, but come again. Yes, come anon. Enters another into view, His features are not cold or white, but rosy as a vein seen through. Too soon he smiles adieu. Adieu, O ghost day of delight, but come and grace my dying sight. Enters the day that brought the kiss. He brought it in his foggy hand to where the mumbling river is, and the high clematis. It lent new color to the land, and all the boy within me manned. Ah, this one. Yes, I know his name, he is the day that wrought a shine even on a precinct common and tame, a sphere of purpose dame. He shows him as a rainbow sign of promise made to me and mine. The next stands forth in his mourning clothes, and yet, despite their misty blue, they mark no somber custom growths that joyous living loathes, but a meteor act that left in its queue a train of sparks my lifetime through. I almost tremble at his nod, this next in train who looks at me as I were slave, and he were God wielding an iron rod. I close my eyes, yet still is he in front there, looking mastery. In the similitude of a nurse the phantom of the next one comes. I did not know what better or worse chancings might bless, or curse when his original glossed the thrums of ivy, bringing that which numbs. Yes. Trees were turning in their sleep upon their windy pillows of gray when he stole in. Silent his creep on the grassed eastern steep. I shall not soon forget that day, and what his third hour took away. He follows himself. In a heavy time I dogged myself along a lowering way, till my leading self to my following self said, "Why do you hang on me so harassingly? I have watched you, heart of mine," I cried, "oh often going astray and leaving me, that I have pursued, feeling such truancy ought not to be." He said no more, and I dogged him on from noon to the dun of day by prowling paths, until anew he begged, "Please turn and flee. What do you see?" "Methinks I see a man," said I, "imming his hours to gray. I will not leave him, while I know part of myself is he who dreams such dree. I go to my old friend's house," he urged, "oh do not watch me, pray." "Well, I will leave you in peace," said I, "hawk of this poignancy you should fight free. Your friend, oh other me, is dead. You know not what you say." "Hat do I. And at his green grass door by night's bright galaxy I bend a knee." The yew plumes moved like mockers' beards, though only boughs were they, and I seemed to go. Yet still was there, and am, and there haunt we thus bootlessly. The singing woman, there was a singing woman came riding across the mead at the time of the mild May weather, tameless, tireless, this song she sung. "I'm fair, I am young," and many turned to heed. And the same singing woman sat crooning in her need at the time of the winter weather, friendless, fireless, she sang this song. "I've thought too long," and there was none to heed. Without, not within her. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.